But it's an only cross, Allah delivered us from all that is evil. In the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Let's bow our heads down and revere the Lord. Sweet loving Father, in your great love and mercy, Lord, we are gathered here today. Once again, after a very long break, Lord, summer break that you have blessed us with, Lord. Thank you for all the vacations that most of our members have gone and come back, Lord. And also thank you, Lord God, for our brothers and sisters who are at this very moment on vacation, Lord God, is vacation, Lord.
Yes, yes.
Wherever they are, Lord God, let your power flow, let your protection be there, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, Father God, for once again resuming our Bible study sessions, Lord God. And we look forward to you, my God, to inspire us and to teach us more about you.
Yes, Jesus.
Sweet loving Jesus, it's your blood that always protects and saves.
Amen.
As we sprinkle this blood into this place, Lord, we pray that anything that is untoward, Lord God, may get out from this place, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And let us be protected, Lord, in such a way that no temptation, no evil thoughts, nothing negative coming into this place, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And once again, Holy Spirit, this is your session. We are just here to hear you, to listen to you, Lord. You are the one to teach us, Lord, and open our hearts and our hearts and minds, Lord, so that we may be able to understand you. Open our eyes, Lord God, our spiritual eyes, so that these words, Lord God, which sometimes look so dull, may open up, Lord God, and be so live for us, Lord God. Lord, as we see the progress of this world, Lord, the rains of Kerala, Lord, and everything, Lord, we know this book of Revelation comes alive, Lord. And Lord, this is the time that you prepare us for all these events and occasions that are coming place. Once again, Lord, we lift up to you our state of Kerala, Lord, your own state, Lord God. And we pray for mercy, Lord. Lord, we are all sinners and we have hurt you in some way or the other, Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord.
Yes,
we cry out, Lord God, on behalf of those people who are already in pain, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, reach out your hands, Lord. Stop the rains, Lord. And all those who have lost their things, Lord, restore, my God.
Yes,
everything
Lord.
Is possible with you, my God.
Amen.
Restore Jesus. Everything that the people has lost, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And most of all, O Lord, restore their faith in you,
yes,
Lord God.
Amen.
Let them not lose their faith. Let them not question where you are, my God.
Yes,
because, Lord, we do the sins and we blame you for it, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, once again, we thank you for your mercy that are new every morning.
Amen.
And we pray, my God, to protect us and protect our families and protect this world at large.
Yes.
Mother Mary, continue to be with us. You are the center of our homes. You are the center of this class. You are the center of our lives, Mama. Keep us under your mantle of care. Bless us, protect us, and teach us what the Lord wants to teach us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please help yourself to some tea. We give you 650 seconds. There are some more biscuits here, please. Anybody else? Before we start, we have sent an email to all around there's a small evening session that we are going to have on Monday the 20th of this month. Why should all the people who are at home enjoy everything? No? So we also wanted to have a small get-together at the Dolphins, which Benny and our sister Margaret has very kindly given us to us. So please, can we have a count in case you are coming so that we can cater for food? Are you all coming? Have you received?
I sent a message now.
Yeah, you sent it.
And I have to do something also.
Yeah, I know.
And Ishmael.
Yeah. Ishmael has already confirmed here.
Yeah, confirmed.
Are you all home? Are you all there? You were there last time, right? You were
yeah,
there.
Last time.
Yeah, last
yeah.
time.
What about?
You're
coming here. Yeah. You'll come in
evening.
Yeah. Evening 6 o'clock.
Yes.
Dolphin Village. They have got a swimming pool. Get, if you have friends, if you have friends who wants to come, please bring, but let us know so that we can count.
I'm surprised only 2 people have answered in
our
mail.
It's not surprising. It's always happening. I'm so used to it.
I'm just trying to inform everybody what
happens.
So now it's full. But we have to tell everyone when we are sending
our
mail.
So you're coming, no? Yeah. You but bring your son along.
Individually,
everybody goes. Okay. Rupert, brother Rupert.
You are coming.
We are going to have this drive and all that stuff.
I know. I was telling them.
You are supplying.
Tell him,
I know. I'm.
No need to bring anything.
Brother Rocky was saying, please see that somebody brings everything. But we don't want anything. We just want you. So let's bring a swimming trunks that we cannot provide.
And towels.
Okay, for those who want to swim. But otherwise, don't bother about anything. Okay.
You are there.
6 o'clock.
Achana, you are there.
See? We have a flight, I'm still trying to change it. If I change my flight, I'll be
there. But let us know. You can let anybody know.
Yeah,
and
the food which you are getting.
And if you, by word of mouth, if you all pass around, then let.
Helen said, if whoever meets Helen can. Helen is coming.
Okay. That's for this Monday, 20th. This is the 20th, right?
Yeah.
6 o'clock, we are at the Dolphins. Okay, brother Rocky will be there to welcome us.
Yeah.
he's the hero of that place.
Are you going 6 hours straight in the pool?
No. We'll just come. Because the sister Margaret said from six on we can be here.
Okay.
We can go to the pool later.
Yes.
Okay. Come back to business.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For those who are new, we are once again reflecting on the book of Revelations, which we started some time ago. The book of Revelation has been written by John, but it is a message from Jesus to all the seven churches. Why only seven churches? That time there were only seven churches. There were many. Seven is a complete number. Okay. So when we mention seven churches, it means every church, even today's church, that means our church as well. Okay. So seven is a complete number. Seven lampstands.
Yes, seven lampstands.
Okay, that represents the churches, and the seven angels. Okay, that represent. So in other words, Jesus is in charge. Jesus is the head of all the churches everywhere. Okay.
Amen.
Other means of, and that's why he's giving us this message through John. It's Jesus' message for all the churches, and we can see his judgment on these churches. Okay, so our church also will be a part of all these things, or will have one common church problem with us as well. But mostly we are going to be a part of all these problems with Jesus is. Pointing out not only the problem, Jesus is so good that he points out first all the good things about the churches, and then he points out all the bad things, and then he gives us a chance to repent. So we have already covered the church, the letters to the churches in, what are the first church? Not St. Anthony's. Not Gala. Ephesus, okay? We started with Ephesus, and then we went to Smyrna, and then we went to Pergamum. And now today we are going to the letter to the church of Thyatira. Interesting as it is, it starts with Ephesus, okay, Smyrna. Pergamum is right on the top north. Then it comes down southeast. So we are at Thyatira, which is here southeast. Then we come to the other churches down. So it's like an arc, And that has been the postal route. The postmen at that time used to go that route, and that is why. Now, Thyatira, among all the letters written to all the churches, this letter of to Thyatira is the longest, if you look at it, okay? It's the longest letter, and the church is not very significant. It's the longest letter written to a most insignificant church. Why is that? We will come to know. Okay? So, to the Church of Thyatira, come and read.
The message to Thyatira.
Thyatira.
And to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love, faith, service, and patient endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first. But I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, and is teaching and beguiling my servants to practice fornication and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her fornication. Beware, I am throwing her on a bed, and those who commit adultery with her I am throwing into great distress, unless they repent of her doings. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am the one who searches minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. To everyone who conquers and continues to do my works to the end, I will give authority over the nations to rule them with an iron rod, as when clay pots are shattered. Even as I also received authority from my Father, to the one who conquers, I will also give the morning star. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let me once again reiterate that I'm not a Bible scholar. I've just been learning, as we are all learning, and I made my notes so that I can give it to you, so that all of us need not spend time in learning, okay? And so that's why this class is not called a Bible study class, it's called a Bible reflection class. We are just reflecting on the things what God teaches us. And so I've got notes to refer to, and if any one of you wants to make notes, please do so, with the references and all that stuff. Okay. Now, Thyatira, as I said, it has got no very significant, like the other churches, it is not very significant. It's one of the most insignificant churches at that time. But the longest letter to the church is written to Thyatira. Now, Thyatira has got its own geographical position, which is quite good, and that is why it's a commercial center. As I said, Pergamum is north of Thyatira. It's on a hill. Pergamum. And Thyatira is down. Okay, and at that time, there was a garrison. The Romans used to have their small group of, soldiers kept there just so that, you know, Pergamum should not be attacked. Pergamum is the capital. Yeah, and but Thyatira was in place in such a way that, you know, they could not hold the enemy for too long. So for till the Pergamum geared itself for battle, Thyatira was there as a small hub to fend, to just gain time for them to attack. Now, because of its strategical position, it became a commercial center, and that is why it is known here for its commerce center. Okay, it has there is no special religious significance as well. It was not the place where this Greek Caesar's worship was being, it was held, but not so strictly, you know. And there was one local god there. The local god, hero god, was called Tyrimnus, okay, T-Y-R-I-M-N-U-S. He was called Tyrimnus, and he appears on their coins, okay, in Tiatira, he appears on the coins, and he appears on horseback, armed with battle axe and club. So he's the only god that they have there, notable god that they had there. Then, and the only other thing that is notable in Tiatira was that it was a center for, fortune telling, okay. There was a female oracle there called Sambathi, S-A-M-B-A-T-H-E, yeah. She was in charge of the fortune telling there. And so people, the legend says that people all over the world at that time came to this place because they were quite powerful in telling their fortunes. Okay. Now, what was this problem in Thyatira? What is the problem there? For example, first of all, as you said, Thyatira is a commercial center. They had a lot of industries. You know the Paul says in one letter, the dye-making Lydia, he refers to Lydia in one of the letters, I'll come to know. So the dye-making, tanning, and all these trades, you know, were very famous there, okay? So having those trades, you know, how do we have in India? We have got this trade unions of people in our district. So they also had these trade guilds, they were called there, trade guilds. So it was a union of all people, and all those people who joined those unions were profiting. You know, that means union fights, right? Union fights against things, and they get things done. But there was a problem here that the Christians could not join these unions. Guess why? Why could the Christians not join these guilds or unions which were there? Because it says here in the letter. Okay, it doesn't say. Okay, but it says here, what it says? About eating of food. Yeah, food given to idols. Right, idols. Now,
fornication.
Yeah, fornication and food given to idols. Yes. Now, what is to happen there is most of these people were pagans, right? And they were into this different trades where they had guilds and all that stuff. And so the few Christians who were there, trying to earn their living, had to join these guilds so that they can prosper. But many of them refused to join it. But the reason for this is that when you are in these guilds, one of the common things is that they used to have a ceremony, a party sort of thing. And in those parties, what they used to do is, for example, I have got a carpentry section. Another one has got a wool section. So each one of us have got our own idols, an own god that we refer and respect. Okay, and we listen. So whenever, what these guilds used to do? They say, okay, come on, today we are meeting for a party to give thanks to the Lord, and so we are all invited. So that they all go to the temple, the common temple, and they offer. This particular guild will go there, offer offerings to the false god, and these offerings were then eaten as a party. Then they had a few wines, etc., flowing out, and then they had after wines, you know what happens, wines and food and all, and the fornication starts. So this was the pattern of the pagans. Now, could a Christian join them? It couldn't. It's completely against this thing, and that is why the Christians were not joining them, and they were so much of handicapped there, okay, because of these common meals and idol worship and sacrifice. Now, the problem also takes place with when the sacrifice was being done, sometimes it is just the forehead which is offered, some hair on the forehead which is burned for offering. But then the entire carcass or entire meat is given to first the priest, a little bit of it, whatever they want, and then the rest is given to the person who has offered the meal, okay? And then this person either has his party at the temple where they adore, or they have it in their homes. But wherever this was the system they used to have. Now, what some used to do, what a priest used to do normally, is they can't eat so much, so they used to sell Because this is prime meat, right? It's meat without blemish, which they all always wanted and offered to the gods. So it was first class meat, and they used to have their own share, and they used to sell this meat to the shopkeepers. So even otherwise, people did not know whether it was given to the idol or not. So you see, it was such a catch-20 situation then. Even today, in our own times, are we sure that our food is not sold in the markets, is not given to idols? Because these normally the Hindus and they have got a tradition, no? Of Hindus, the Muslims have the halal thing, where they kill in their own way. So I'm sure there's some ceremony, etc., being done, no? But we are eating that, we are indulging in that. How many of Christian markets are there where we can wholly say that, this is not offered to idols? Yeah, so, one of these churches, is a message for us. They used to not go. They were preferring to stay without food or what, without doing their own sins, but they were not going. Now, there are four questions here which the letter says. What is the situation in the church of Thyatira? Who was Jezebel, right? They are mentioned Jezebel here. What did she teach? And what are the promises made to the church at Thyatira by Jesus himself? Now the opening itself, what does Jesus say? Description of Jesus is given what? Is it like a flame of fire?
Yes.
And with like burnished bronze.
Yes.
What would the flame of fire of Jesus refer to?
Discipline.
Purification.
Discipline. What else? Flame of fire.
The other with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Now flame of fire. This is all are right. The flame of fire is Jesus' eyes were so fiery, right, that it could penetrate into any person. Even today, there is nothing that can be hidden from Jesus, from Jesus' eyes. We may pretend with other people, we may pretend ourselves, but Jesus penetrates right through you. You cannot fool about with Jesus. Okay? And secondly, he has got feet of bronze. Now, bronze is one of the metals used and traded for in those days to make the helmets of the soldiers. There was helmet of the soldiers. Now, and bronze, it's a very good metal, and the soldiers have to wear it as a helmet, but Jesus wears it here as a feet. First of all, to show that, your helmet is my feet, yeah? Your head is my feet, like he's the power, he's the boss. And helmet, bronze is, what is that called?
Sturdy.
Feet are sturdy. They cannot move them. No, so Jesus is strong. Jesus is sturdy. Jesus' eyes can penetrate. Yeah. So first of all, he tells us who he is. That description itself is enough for us to raise our spirit of hope, our spirit of faith in him. If anybody, that is why they give this thing, because people there were suffering, no? Not everybody wanted to go join in this thing. But they were suffering. Some of them were just suffering. But Jesus is showing them that I'm in control. Yeah, I'm in control. Today, thus this flaming fire of Jesus' eyes and the bronze statue feet of Jesus make any sense to us?
Yes.
Or is it applicable to us in this place, at this time?
So
there
are eyes that have to be open.
Yeah?
Should not be blind.
Yeah. Will you still see... can you still imagine Jesus with that fiery eyes and the bronze legs? What would you say? Would that give you hope, or would that?
I'm afraid all the time.
Yeah.
Every moment of my life, I'm afraid. I love him, but I'm afraid. Can't do
so
anything,
much of,
even in hidden.
Sin is happening around the world, so I think. Apparently,
Satan
is also trying
his.
Yes.
Even in darkness, I'm afraid.
Because
you can't hide. Cannot hide.
Previously, I used to put also a lot of masks, right? But then God has one by one stripped it off. And I like to be naked now. Because, he can see me directly and I can see. Because without that unmasking of this thing, we are just leading a life that is And it is, it comes in everybody's life. Okay, I've gone through a lot of things where he had to take off my mask, and it's still taking, I'm sure. It's still a left which is taking off. I thank God for that. But one thing is sure, you know, in times of calamities, now I just think about people in Kerala, right? Very few of us are from Kerala, but take an example of what happened in Goa, Bombay. We would be all be panicking, right? We still, people are praying desperately. Now, do you think this menace which has come in Kerala is from God? God, does God bring destruction?
No.
He allows it. He allows it, but he doesn't bring it. Right? The Satan of the world, the ruler of this world, is the one. He is in charge of all the principalities of this place. Yeah? He is in charge of the rulers of this place, the evil one. And he is the one. Who's the rulers are all bad, right? Because they have to be bad to communicate with the evil spirits. Everything is selfish. So now, so there's something so great, disastrously happening in Kerala, that even God is not intervening. Because there's not much prayer coming there to God. Because for God to intervene, there should be prayers continuously. So the sin is more than the prayers. And we are not doing things, that's my belief. Huh? That's my belief. It's not written anyway, but that's my belief. Right? So whenever, now this is a calamity, this is a national calamity, and our state level calamity, which is affecting the whole world. But the same thing can happen to each one of us on a personal level, right? Yeah.
Can I interrupt? Here it's written, and all the churches will know that I am the one who searches minds and hearts.
Yes.
And I will give to each of you as your works deserve.
Correct. We are coming. Yeah, we are coming to that.
Yeah, just
okay.
Sorry.
No, it's true. It's true. What he said is true. It's there. So, so he's the God with flaming eyes and bronze feet. Now, take an example. There is something troubling you. Okay, what does, we have to reflect on these things on a personal basis. Something troubling you. Relating to the Book of Revelation, you can tell Jesus, Lord Jesus, you have got eyes of flame, right? You have got feet of bronze. Right? Aren't you going to help me out? Aren't you going to intervene in my this thing? Aren't you going to bring justice into my life? So you can take it very, very personal. Yeah, because he's you can imagine him as a God. And you think he's going to say no? He will come.
Yes.
He will come immediately because you'll see the letter coming saying.
Amen.
Okay? Now, first of all, I like Jesus because however bad you may be, right, he will not condemn you immediately.
Yes.
He will not condemn you. He will tell you your good points first. And then he will slowly tell you, this is your bad points, okay? So be careful of this. Now what are the good points that he gives us?
Your faith, service, love.
Your love?
Faith.
Service.
And patience,
okay? he is congratulating them for this. So this church is a vibrant church, okay? It has got love, faithfulness, service. You know, they are very vibrant church. According to what Jesus tells them. But then what he says? There is one.
Last works are greater than your first.
Yes. See, he's even commending that for that.
Yes.
What they started, they are not like now. They are better than what they started. So they are progressing in their spiritual life. Then.
But I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel.
Yeah.
Calls herself a prophet.
Yes. Now see, if anybody had gone into that church, a new person, they would be impressed. Wow, you know, such a vibrant church. People are so active. People are doing so many things. You know, there are guilds. There are things happening. There are worship taking place. You know, people would be so impressed. But then Jesus said, there is one problem with you all. He's saying you're tolerating Jezebel. Now, who is Jezebel in the Old Testament? Have you heard of Jezebel?
King Ahab's
wife, yeah.
She Baal worship. She was
a loose girl.
She tried to kill that person.
Correct. Very good.
Eliza.
Now there is a. Now Jezebel, the Old Testament Jezebel, was a daughter of Ethbaal, Ethbaal. Yeah, she was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidon, and the wife of Ahab. Now, this story is in 1 Kings 16:31, okay? 1 Kings 16:31. Now, God had clearly told the kings at that time, do not marry pagan women. So, Ahab, first of all, Ahab was one of the worst kings, and because of his wife. So he, first of all, he married a pagan woman. Okay, she not only married him, but she brought all the gods with her. And the worst one was Baal. What do you say? Okay, not only that. She influenced Ahab so much. Okay, and then to worship Baal, and then the story comes about what brother Iswar is saying. The murder of that, his name was Naboth. Naboth, N-A-B-O-T-H. He had a particular, he had a nice garden and a place, and Ahab wanted it. He came to him, and Ahab is a king, he's got everything. He came to him and he said, I want this place of yours. He said, this is the only thing I have, so I'm not giving it to you. It's my ancestors, my birthright, right? And I'm not giving it to you. And then so the king, like a little boy, he went home, he started being grumpy. Jezebel is asking him, what's wrong? And then he says, no, this guy there, you know, he's got a small plot there. He's taking too much of himself. I went to give him. I offered him money and all that. He's saying, no, I can't give. And this guy's crying. He said, don't worry, give it to me. I'll do something about it. And then, you know, she does things. She kills him, throws him out, and says, oh, tells Ahab, okay, now take it, it's yours. So she was a dominant woman, a priestess, and she had these... what you call that, Baal, people under her, 450 prophets were under her. And the story of Elijah tells you that, right? That's the time when the fire was called, and they were killed, not the 450 of them. And then what happens after that? See how powerful she is. Then after doing that, when Elijah called for fire and did such a great spectacle of a miracle, anybody else would have put the king's gown and said this thing. The moment he says that, Jezebel tells him that I will come after you now. Yeah. And this guy runs. He runs. Last week's no? He runs into the forest and runs into the thing, scared of his life. And he says, he tells God, God, kill me. Just imagine, he had just showed the power of God. And you see, how wavering sometimes our faith is. God has just performed a miracle. 450 Baal people were killed. Fire which in spite of all the water put specifically, the fire caught it. So see the power of God, and still we do not realize, and we do not how much God must be feeling when we do not realize His presence. But He has done so much in our life. Now we are not talking about 450 people dying in our place, but look at our lives. Now, has God left you? I'm looking at this sister now, but you know, because she's a latest testimony, you know, of what God is. Yeah, and has God left us, and will He leave us? Now, one thing, my next full sharing will be on that. One thing we should always remember: it is so easy to forget what God has done. Yeah, and one of the best things to revive your spirit whenever a new problem takes place is to think, is to remember what God has done to you. Now, to remember what God has done to you, first of all, you should acknowledge what God has done to us. How many of us believe, we are good people, but how many of us normally thank God for everything? For everything, tell me. Sometimes we say, no, why? You know, it's our birthright, we should get it. Sometimes we say, like for example, when God gives us early morning, it's God's right, you know, to make us alive, is that? Yeah? He's not done us a favor. And we should be alive. He has kept us a span of so many years, so He should be, He's not doing us a favor. Is that right? Every minute He gives us is a favor of God. It's a favor from God. Yeah? And we have to thank Him for that. Okay? We have to thank Him. Jobs, like, you know, our degrees have given us our jobs. You know, my position, you know, through my position I'm earning my salary. Is that anything wrong? Not that. God has ordained, yes, but, you know, salaries are coming. People are not getting salaries somewhere. Some people are not, we have got air-conditioned rooms in our offices as well. 2-3 air conditions sometimes one office, and there are people here who are struggling on the streets. Do we thank the Lord? No, it comes as a perk for us. It's our right, right? So the moment we understand that everything that comes to you, big and small, is from God, and let's have a heart of gratitude, then you have no problems, and you are always blessed. You are always blessed. To have a heart of gratitude, the greatest ingredient that we should have is what?
Humility.
Pride.
Humility.
Okay. Humility. Yeah? Not pride, no? Jezebel was proud. She was proud. She was a controller of things. Controller of things, right? she could even like her husband was just a henpecked guy for him, for her. Everything was controlled by him. And then she not only made people to offer a sacrifice to Baal, but also influenced the other people around. Not only her family, but everybody else influenced other people. Now, she was not against Jehovah. She was not against our God. But she wanted, like, okay, along with your, with these gods, you will serve your God as well. I have no objections. That is the Jezebel spirit. The Jezebel spirit is not in the retaliating against God, but the Jezebel spirit says, hello, accommodate everybody. That's why she is linked to food and fornication. Yeah? Okay, doesn't matter. You be a, they say that, you know, she said, okay, use the Holy Spirit as well, but use this as well. And Jesus' firm answer is, there cannot be no other gods before me. And today, in our churches today, in our lives today, in our society today, are we better off than them? Each one will speak for himself. Are we better off than them? What are the temptations? Now today, sometimes it's so scary because we have accepted the way of life as, yeah, okay. But these people are not accepting it at that time. See? And Jesus is warning to us. That is why Revelation is such an important book, because it is not a that time book. It is a book for today, end times, right? It is a book to reflect on. Like now today, I don't know. We don't have what we call it as unions here. No? We have it back in home in India, and all that stuff. But are we mingling our faith with the pagan faith? Yeah. Now for example, just I'm thinking. Now, for those of us who are in the managerial position, okay, are we depriving our lower workers of their dues, of their rightful dues? I know of some people, especially in the small companies, if they are supposed to be getting say 500 paises an hour for overtime, they'll give them only 250 paises, and the 250 is taken by them. This is Baal worship. God is, this is not, this is, so we are saying, oh, this is this modern day. But no, this is the idols of today. They may not be in forms of statues, but they are in forms of all this. Are we recommending our staff properly when we have this, appraisals? Are we giving the truth? Or, you know, only favorites, we are putting them, giving them extra more marks and getting them, and the real truthful people, are we putting them down? Idols of today, Jezebel spirit. Okay, so we cannot rule out Jezebel, saying that it is an old time story. God has brought it up in the Revelation because a new time story as well. Okay, the spirit of Jezebel is not. It's not. Some people say it's not a woman as such, even in the modern time, but it is the system. What she has done it. It was a modern. It was Jezebel and her system, but it is cropping into the churches. Wonderful, we have a great choir, we have got a great mass going on, we have got to sing, but then what happens? Is there something mixing about in us? Right? Is the, is our singing or our reading or our whatever we do, service to the church, bringing glory to God, or is it for, I want to advertise my voice. I want to advertise what I'm doing, you know? That is the Jezebel spirit. If we are doing it, we are singing for the Lord, we don't care how we sing. We don't care who is impressed. If we are reading for the Lord, now see, it used to be me as well, you know. I was very conscious when I read on the Lord, this thing, like, you know, will the people understand it? Will the people? One day, the Holy Spirit taught me in a very, very bad way, for a few times. I used to read quite well. And suddenly, I started fluctuating in my reading. Something that has never happened to me. And I said, what is this? You know, I said, Lord, what is this? And then the Holy Spirit revealed to me, are you reading for your people or are you reading to understanding what? And from that time I said, sorry Lord, I'm sorry. I was doing that, not to impress the people, but that, you know, I was more interested in the people understood it or not. Okay? But I did not, in the bargain, I was trying to put my pronunciations well, put this well, and I've lost the meaning of the text. I've lost the meaning of the reading, what we are supposed to read. Okay? Then I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, sorry, forget it. I'm not listening. And from now on, I only concentrate on what is matter. Whether the people understand it or not, this is the Spirit's problem, not my problem. Yeah? My job is to read the Word of God. My job is to sing for the Word, for the Lord. The Spirit is the one who will control. Yeah. So this is I've not planned this. It's not on my notes. This is just coming up now.
Yes.
Right. What is the modern Jezebel of today? Anything that we make an idol, anything that is, and she was a very strong woman. Huh? You could not retaliate with her. She would kill you. She has such a thing in her. So are we doing, like, even in our churches now, we may not even know, we may not, this thing is just coming. It's good to reflect back and to say, like, are we serving the Lord, or we are serving society or the people? One. And if you are not serving the Lord, that means that is pride, an element of pride in us, no? And that pride should be broken. And that's when Jesus, with his fiery eyes, becomes alive. Because if you are not doing things in the right way, his eyes will burn you, you know, until you come back. So he's recommending them for their good works, okay? But then he's recommending them, and also what he's saying is, you are tolerating. He's not saying you are a Jezebel spirit. You are tolerating the Jezebel spirit in you. Are we tolerating our leaders who are giving us wrong advice, or who are expecting something more, something that is taking us away from the worship of the Lord? It could be. Suppose I'm insisting only on I'm harping only on, you know, I want this to be perfect, this, that, it should be like perfectly sounded and all. But is it aligning to God's will? God will say, I've not made you perfect. I don't want to. I want sincerity from your heart. Yeah. And there could be some people who are very strict on this, and who are saying, I'm just a thought. So the Holy Spirit will reveal to each one of us. Well, in whatever ministries we are involved in whatever places we are involved in, the Holy Spirit will inform you. If we are doing things unknowingly, also God is good. He will not condemn us for doing something unknowingly. But he will inspire us. He will that those fire of Jesus' eyes will burn us. He says, we are doing something wrong. It's time for us to change. We are doing something wrong. And then when our God, with whom we are worshipping, him himself is giving us that power, that's this thing, and we have nothing to fear.
Amen.
That's why God says, no, come to me as little children. Children have got nothing to fear. They're naked, they're still this thing. They want something, they run to the father's lap, they know how to muskify, they know everything. Yeah, so that's the way our life should be. Okay, not a Jezebel spirit. Now, what else he says? I've given her time to repent. Now see, our God is so good, you know. How many of us give people a chance to get back on their feet, even if they have hurt us? How many of us? I will see you. You have done this to me, you know. You come out. Or, you know, they used to, I don't know now if these people exist, you know, but sometimes, you know, even if he dies, I will not go. I heard one guy say, no, I will go and pee on his grave. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? The hatred that is in a person. Even death, we are not afraid of. You know? But thank God that is diminishing as we are getting more charismatic. And we are, these qualities are slowly going up. But they are so prevalent in some people. And sometimes, you know, you are so shocked, because now we are not used to that. No? And suddenly a guy says something like that. Oof. Like, you know,
recently it happened here. Yeah? We went to the hospital, and there was someone here who said, it's nothing new, he deserves it, and he has to. What goes round comes back. Just now, just 3-4 days back, somebody is very sick, somebody is very ill. Okay. And this is what, like, you know.
It is not wrong to say that what goes about comes back. It is coming. But what about me? What have I done? Will not it come for me?
Yeah.
It will come. That is always what you sow, you reap, right? Yes. That, there's nothing wrong in the theory. But who are we to judge? Who are we to condemn somebody else? That theory is absolutely right. And look at our lives. Were we good? Or are we still, we are still suffering from the consequences of what we have done in the past. Right? And until we repent, that's the God's message. That one word, repent, is such a magic word.
Amen.
It's a magic word which can change a sinner to a saint. And all the saints who are there repented of their sins. There is no saint who was not a sinner. But that they have used that word, repent, in a practical way, and they have changed their lives from saints, from sinners to saints. And Jesus is... Now, who was the first one who paved the way for Jesus before Jesus came? John the Baptist. What was his message?
Repent.
repentance.
Repentance. First was repentance. Jesus' message also is the same, repent. And after Jesus, there's nobody else. So the message of repentance holds good for generations to generations.
Amen.
And what is repent? Some people, you know, tear their hair, you know, swell their eyes, cry. Repentance. That's not repentance. You may have emotions. Okay, some of the emotions will be genuine, some of the emotions will just be to show somebody else. But repentance is just saying, Lord, here I am, I'm sorry. No, I've gone the wrong way. I now turn with you. I turn and go back. On the way, like for example, if a person is addicted to alcohol, okay, and he's now repenting, he wants to come back to you. So he says, okay, Lord, I'm now turning back from alcohol. He turns back. Suddenly, he finds a beer coming there, this thing. And then old friends, old singler, goes for a small drink. Okay, commits a sin. But again, he repents. He understands, repent. So repentance does not always say that you are going to go through a completely secret.
Right.
You may deter, but you have to persist in your repentance. And God is not a God with a stick she fell down, does not attack back. No, God is a God who will give you help. He said, "Come to me, come to me. Take my yoke, for my yoke is light and easy." Okay, Bhoda is only one reason. There are all different ways of this thing. A chain smoker, for example, Bhoda will take that to this thing only. Suppose now you are repenting, okay, and if you know that bar is there, and you have a lot of ways to go. If you go to that bar side, say, "No, I'm strong. I'm going to the bar side." That's not repentance, because you know they're going to fall there. So you have to take a route, even if it means round ring circle, where you don't meet that bar. You understand? That is repentance. Like you say, I tried, but I fell. If you are going to that place, why you will not fall? You'll definitely fall, no? So we are giving excuses like that. Even for sin, we give excuses. That is Jezebel's spirit, because she says, "No, do this, do that." No, everything is okay. You honor your God also, and you honor us also. You say hail to Caesar, put a pinch of incense into the burner, and also dissing your God. But this, what did Jesus say? Okay, then repent, and then
Father, I will put you on bread.
Ah, that's very dangerous words, no? He's giving now. You know what happened to Jezebel? She was eaten, right? She was rotten, and she was eaten by stray dogs. Okay, the same thing happens to Ahab. Died. Ahab's one son fell from a thing and fell down and crashed. All his children were killed. So you see Jezebel's spirit. Now you'll say, why is God, going to the children's extent? Is God so unmerciful? Like, why should when a parent commits a sin, why should the children be affected by it? But you know what happens here? It's not only Jezebel and her husband Ahab. They have taken their own family, and they have taken the entire generation into that sin. Yeah. So it's not, God is not punishing innocent children. God is punishing children who will be Ahabs of the future. That means that the crime will increase and increase unless he kills them. He's not a child killer. But if you have influenced so much your children that they will carry on your legacy after you go, he has to break it up. He has to break it up. He gave Jezebel the chance to repent, but she's not willing to repent. There are always two choices. Even today, when you are hard-hearted, you cannot repent. I have been in both the states, and it's a dangerous state to be in. If your heart is hardened, my God, I know, it is better to die. I'm telling you, than to be in that state, because I have gone through that. God has shown me all that. Sometimes, when your heart is, you don't want anything about God. You say, so what? Even now, some of the young youth say, what, so what? Where is God? What? I will die. I will go. So if you come to that stage, just forget life. That's why the suicides are increasing so much. No, because of that. What is the way out for that?
Repent.
No, they don't want to repent. So what's the way out? For us, we have to pray. We have to pray continuously for these souls, because the devil has bound them so much that they cannot be free. They're so bound. So he said, I will, what he says? Throw her on the bed, and he will also That means everybody who's entangled with her, unless she has given us choice even then. Unless you repent, he's given choice for everybody. Unless you repent, he is going that. This is, don't be like, you know, surprised to say, all right, what's happening to me? You know, you have you repented? If you repent, God is faithful. However great your sins are, whatever it is, you go to the confession, confess your sins, be absolved by Jesus, not by the priest, by Jesus, and you are a free man, you are another person altogether. Okay, and that is your time. And that doesn't mean, as I always said, it doesn't mean that you will not fall. You will fall, but next time you fall, you will not stay in that junk. You will get up. Yeah, you will get up. Even Jesus fell down 3 times, right? So Jesus is not with that, like this thing. He is, you know, what I've personally noticed nowadays is, previously, you know, when we used to pray, the answers did not come so soon. But now, I've noticed, I don't know if you're like, and I'm sure we all have seen the same thing. And now, the moment you just pray, you know, God answers. He makes it visible. Now, sometimes, you know, many times I've had just a desire. I didn't even put it in prayer. But here, he understood my desire, he gave it to me. Yeah, and I was speaking to my brothers also. They also had the same experience. So now God he knows that the end times are near. And he will do anything. He will do anything to save his people. You know, we cannot blame God. He will stoop low just to save a person. You know, he will stoop low. And this is really what I'm noticing this
testimony,
day.
Testimony, no, brother, for Frederick.
Frederick, yeah. Yeah. You know, in such thing, miracles are just waiting for you to be performed.
Amen.
Yeah? You know, anybody can perform miracles. Just lay your hands, speak, prophesy, and things are happening. Things will happen. That faith, you know, you should have. You know, one great dangerous word is lukewarm. Jesus said, "I will spew you out." You know, most of us have the tendency to be lukewarm. We want the best of both worlds, and the sad and most important thing is that we cannot have both the worlds. Either you either have God or Mammon, yeah. But you cannot have both. I tried my best to have both, but not too long. You cannot satisfy two masters. Yeah? You either have one. Now, if you want to do that, no. Practically, you go to some Goa or somewhere. Take two canoes. Put one leg on this one and one leg on this one. If you succeed to go, then God will allow you to your own. You understand, no? Have you noticed boats, small boats, canoes? Try that. You know, they ask that they have a higher 5 years for rupees. But I want two boats. You know, small. Don't take big ones. Take small boats and put your hand 1 foot here, 1 foot there, and say, "Oh, come, go." If you succeed in that, I'm sure God also will say, "Chalo, I'm not going to be strict with you." Right? So use that. Use those canoes, this thing. Okay? So you cannot. If we have, and that is what. And
God hates it also.
God definitely hates it. No. Now, for example, to be in God's shoes. Yeah. To be in God's shoes. Who's your greatest enemy? I don't have any.
No.
Yeah. We don't have enemies now. Yeah. But take an example. Now, don't tell
Satan.
It. Satan is a different fellow. But take an example, your old times, huh, when you had really had enemies, when you were not in the Lord.
Yeah.
So bring that person to mind. Okay? Now you all are two, this thing. And now I am the one who will have good to you, also good to them. How you will take me? Will you trust me? Will you like
yeah.
me? Because you know that I'm good to you, and you know I'm good to her
yeah.
as well, your enemy as well.
Yeah.
So if we as human beings can't adjust, how will God accept it? So, and at least we are just, you're fighting for something. This is life and death. This is life and death. God is saving us and he is killing us. You know, I used to never take John 10:10 very seriously. The devil comes to kill, steal and destroy. But he comes to really kill. If you are not careful, he will kill you. He will destroy you. He will not say, "Chalo, go, you know, I'll give you a slap." No, he'll kill you. He'll kill you. And I've seen this instances very, very badly. And, many a times I've been... Oh, it's 4:30 already. Many a times I've been... I've missed. I missed very much. Because I didn't take that this thing very seriously. But now I can never trust. And you know, nowadays I my personal way to the Lord is, Lord, I don't want you to use me in anything spectacular. Just give me the grace to pray continuously for souls, lost souls. That is my burden. That's my desire. You know, and time and again, God is blessing me with that. I have a burden for souls because especially youth. I've seen so many youth going astray. And our children also are around in the world, you know, so we have to take care of our children. And the only thing we can do as parents and brothers and sisters, you know, is to save somebody.
Amen.
save somebody, take off the Jezebel spirit from us, right? Any spirit that is contrary to the Lord is a Jezebel spirit. And then what did God say? If you do, if you are willing, what he gives us?
To everyone who conquers and continues to do my work to the end, I will give authority over the nations.
What he says now? Everyone who conquers. Victory doesn't come just sitting down. You have to fight. You have to fight. You have to be an overcomer. In every thing, to those who overcome, for those who conquer, it doesn't come to us on a silver platter. Never at all. Right? So we have to fight. And the moment you understand God, the moment you understand how good he is, the moment you understand how beneficial he is for you and how he loves you, you will fight. You will not sit. And the moment you see, if you've seen people who are fighting against the evil one, they are fully in it. Our little saints here, 12-year-old, 13-year-old saints who have become, no, they were so missing the Lord. Read at least one saint a month or a week, and you'll know what young girls, young boys who have given themselves up. Why? What is from where did all this come? It is from the Lord. And that is once you understand, taste and see that the Lord is good, and you will never leave him again. So the time is now that, and he said, and God's promises there, I will give you the morning star. Who is the morning star? He is the morning star.
Jesus
himself is the morning star. I will give you the morning star, but he will give himself to us. What else do you want? Yeah? Mother Mary is called Star of the Ocean. She's also called Morning Star. I don't know. Yeah. But morning star is Jesus. I'll give you the morning star. So he will make us rise up. He will. His promise is always there. So if we are in the same books as the church in Thyatira, today is the day to change. Today is the day to change. Try and as a homework for. Are we meeting next week? All of you are there.
Yes.
You are not there.
Yes.
You're there. No, so we'll meet next week.
Yes.
Yeah. Whoever come, we can meet. Okay. So the
youth retreat convention. The Rui youth convention.
Okay. Only you all three will go. No. We are no longer youth, so we cannot go. So the homework for us for this week is identify the Jezebel spirit in us. Okay. We don't have to advertise. I won't call you out for this thing to tell which spirit you've got. Yeah. But identify and try to get the spirit out. It'll be different for different people. For some, probably a Jezebel spirit will be a spirit of eating. No, eating uncontrollable eating. That'll be a Jezebel spirit. Sister laughing, probably. I don't know. I think she knows somebody who is. Actually, look at Ruth. No. Okay. So, next week we'll do the Church of Sardis. Let's thank the Lord. Sweet loving Father, Jesus, my Lord, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for taking us into details of the letter written to the church in Thyatira. Jesus, it is your letter. And Holy Spirit, you have explained it to us, Lord. Help us to see, Lord, to which church that we belong to. Are we part and parcel of this church in Thyatira? Or are we part and parcel of you, my God? Lord, time and again we have, through our weaknesses, through unknowingness, we have chosen to be the Jezebels of today. But Lord, now we realize what a Jezebel spirit means. And we realize, Lord, how you hate that spirit, Lord. Because that spirit is a spirit that takes one to damnation, to hell. And you do not want even a single soul to perish, Lord. Lord, we ask you forgiveness if we have been the Jezebel spirit knowingly or unknowingly. But Lord, as you help us to meditate during this week, Lord, help us to identify if this spirit is hiding in us, Lord. And Lord, help us to throw that spirit out, Lord, and repent and come back to you, Lord. Lord, we also thank you for our team, Lord, as we go to visit the hospitals, Lord. Lord, once again, we have seen the power of your word take healing people, Lord God. Bringing people to repentance, Lord God. Lord, we go out in the same spirit, Lord, taking your word to the people in the patients in the hospital, Lord. Knowing for sure, Lord God, that your word will never come back unless it accomplishes its what it's sent for, Lord. We believe, Lord God, that every patient that we are going to encounter today, Lord God, is going to be healed, Lord God. He's going to be healed, Lord God.
Thank you.
And Lord, we thank you in advance for this healing that is going to take place, Lord. And we pray, Lord God, help us, Lord, each one of us to be instruments, Lord, of touching lives. Touching people, oh God, because Lord, at the end of the day, oh God, we all have to come as one family to you, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
So better here than there, Lord God. And Mother Mary, thank you for being with us always and continue to be with us as some of us who go home, Lord, Lord, bless our vehicles, protect us, and bless us on this Eid holidays, Lord God, to have a safe Eid holidays, Lord. I pray for all the people who are traveling, Lord God, let them not have any accidents, Lord God, but Lord, protect each one of them and help us to use our time, Lord, more in your presence, Lord, than in this world. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord.
The Lord with the burning, flaming eyes. The Lord with the bronze feet. Who adorns this garments, Lord, just to protect us, as we children of God agree and say.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you.
See you all next weekend. And those of you who are going for the youth, have a nice, lovely time there, okay?
Thank you.
Pray for us.
Take some of this tea, no?
Yeah, please have some tea and...